everyone, and welcome to episode 31 of At Odds with Wrestling. Joe and Adam here. Adam, how's it going? As we are on the cusp, we're in the shank of the week as we head toward WrestleMania 35 this Sunday in the shadow of New York City, because we can't say where it really is because it's embarrassing to say that we're holding our biggest event of the year in New Jersey.
That's a lot to unpack, but yeah, I'm doing fine. Other than the fact that I do have to readdress my earlier predictions last week about my Yankees, I am now predicting that they go 2-162.
Oh my Christ.
Things escalated quickly. It got bad in the last week, but I just wanted to address that. But other than that, I'm doing fine.
All right. You brought up this baseball nonsense, and I'm just going to get this out of the way.
All right.
I see people tweeting out, it's 5-0, it's the best start of a season and team franchise since 1961. You know what? Win the next 158 games and then we'll talk. Winning 5 games out of 163 is no big deal. Whether you win them at the beginning of the season, middle of the season, or the end of the season, let's talk turkey come September. All of these games from now until September don't mean jack shit.
Joe, every game matters.
No, they don't.
You would know that if you were a fan of fake sports like me.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I'm a fan of real sports. Sports entertain. I like my sport to be entertainment. Entertaining. Baseball, not a sport, it's a game. Bowling, not a sport, it's a game, I guess. I don't know if I could. Here's another thing. If I could do it with some sort of regularity of decency, it's not a sport in any way, shape, or form.
Are you implying that you'd be good at baseball?
No, but I could hit a baseball. I can't hit home runs or whatever, but I could throw a baseball. I could hit the ball. You know, I could barely do basketball. I'll give basketball as a sport. Football is a sport. Hockey. What does Todd call that? He calls it ice pinball. Okay.
I challenge you. I think that if I took you to a batting cage, just like a slow pitch, like 70-mile-per-hour thing, and they usually give you like either 10 or 20 pitches, I don't think you hit more than 2. And that's like weak contact.
Down the gauntlet. I'm not going to take you up on that challenge because I don't want to leave my house.
All right. I will figure out a way to do it in your backyard. I'll throw you some balls.
Okay.
All right. We'll film it. We'll put it up on the Twitters.
Sure. So enough of the fake stuff. Let's get to the real heart of the matter. WrestleMania, as you're listening to this, we're less than 12 hours away from the first show officially kicking off. Events happening at the Collective, or I know there's even events going on as we speak. I may cut in a little bit because the Uncharted Territory Beyond event is going on, and I do want to see who Orange Cassidy and Jordan Grace pick as their mystery tag team partners.
All right, you can tell me if that happens. You can tell me who their partners are, but I don't want to hear the results.
No, no results. Just who their partners are. And I do have the Beyond show on in the best way you could possibly watch these shows is on mute. but anywho, WrestleMania. We're here to talk about WrestleMania. We have a lot to talk about with WrestleMania, the Collective, all the other events that are going on this weekend. But we have to start in the past, which was Adam's April Fool's joke.
Is this the part where there's like an ovation of applause for the next like 10 minutes?
I would dub in a chorus of like boos, but that also is work. And I don't want to do that either. I get what you were going for. However, because I'm so out of touch, I thought you were doing it at first since you did it Sunday night initially.
Mm-hmm. I started at midnight, you know.
I could have swore I saw it earlier than midnight, but that just could have been me being dopey.
No, you're on West Coast time still. I did it after midnight, officially on April 1st. And then after I woke up like super early at like noon to recommence like tweeting out as well. Okay. So I wanted to make sure there wasn't a big delay between my midnight tweets and my noon tweets.
I thought it was a response to me changing the name of our podcast on Twitter to the Elvis Presley of podcasting.
No, because yours is an inside joke that I didn't get. Mine was comedy gold. There's a difference.
Okay. I'm going to change it back to the Elvis Presley, and I forgot because we have so much other shit going on. I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show that we're the Elvis Presley of podcasting. It's branding. That's the log line that with Kenny Omega going around hyping his documentary. That's the log line that everyone doing interviews with him has to call him, the Elvis Presley of professional wrestling.
How about you just, like, keep that comment in, like, the little description?
Nah, I like it better saying that we're the Elvis Presley of professional wrestling, because it's, or of podcasting, because, first of all, Kenny Omega is not the Elvis Presley of professional wrestling. That's the goddamn honky-tonk, man. That's right. And why be the something else of something else? Why don't you just be your own goddamn thing? Anyway. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you didn't like the April Fool's stuff, Joe? Where's your sense of whimsy?
I was
fun?
Honest to God, I was confused as to why you had done it, because it had not dawned on me that it was April Fool's Day. My mind doesn't work that way. It wasn't until I woke up and my kid reminded me that it was April Fool's Day. And then I'm like, is that why Adam did the shit with the Twitter? I'm like, okay, that makes some sort of sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, don't blame me, because you just don't know what holiday it is and don't know, like, the trends of, like, the internet. I can go back to not doing anything on the Twitter if you'd like, or I can try to have fun. Some of our listeners had some fun with it.
Mm-hmm. How many followers did we lose?
We lost 3, but they were nobody that interacted with us. We lost some indie wrestler you're probably friends with who had like 10 followers, so big loss. Okay. Not gonna mention them on here. And then we lost 2 what probably like robot follower for follower type people. So I think we had a good amount of people who are regular listeners who we interacted, and I think that the people who the target audience for it either enjoyed it or didn't hate it and unfollow us. So there. See you again next year.
All right. I won't remember again.
How about this? Next year, I won't start tweeting until like later, like earlier in the day, like noon.
Yeah, or like just send me a text message that says, "Hey, dum dum, this is April Fool's."
All right, I'll dumb it down for you.
Yeah, I'm slow. I my mind is foggy these days. I don't know what's going on.
It's parenting, probably.
Just being old.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of other podcasts, did you hear that I actually got your other co-host, Mr. Roker, to watch some wrestling this week?
Now, I saw Mr. Roker today, and he didn't mention this. How did you rope him into watching any sort of professional indoor wrestling?
So, like, he comes over usually once a week. We'll watch, like, you know, whether it be, like, in a couple of weeks, Game of Thrones. Most recently, we were watching Walking Dead. So he'll come over on, like, a Sunday or something like that. We'll watch TV for a little bit. So, like, we watched Walking Dead's finale, watched Family Guy, and then I'm, like, kind of flipping through the DVR to see what I have, and I had the most recent Impact Wrestling on there, and I was like, ooh, this is Scarlett Bordeaux versus Disco Inferno. I'm this on when Todd's here. And usually, like, I'll put it on, and he understands, like, in the past we'd watch, like, Ring of Honor, sometimes Impact. He understands I'm just going to fast forward through 90% of the show until I can find something that would possibly pop him. And needless to say, he was quite impressed with Miss Bordeaux. He was thanking the cameraman many times. You will never see the joy on this man's face as much joy as there was when he heard Gilberti's finishing move referred to as the Village People's Elbow.
Oh, yes, cracking of course, up, like, a bad, terrible pun.
Yes, I don't know if you know this or not, but Todd likes puns. Yeah. This might be new news to you. But, he was a big fan of that match, and he was a big fan of that finishing move, and that's about all. I think I fast-forwarded to the end for whatever that fucking, the scenario with, Allie and Rosemary.
Into the dream world.
What's that?
Into the dream world, sure.
I put that on for a few minutes just to see what it was, because I heard how terrible it was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I can't even put him through this. So I fast forward and that was it. But despite what he might claim to say on your other shows, for at least a little while, he was a big wrestling fan.
Well, I do thank you for outing my co-host of the other podcast, Longbox Heroes and Longbox Heroes After Dark, as a creep.
No, we're just a fan of women's wrestling.
So, Going off script, obviously, you didn't get a you didn't watch the whole skit with Allie and Soo Young and Rosemary and all that jazz, right?
No, no, I saw her fade away, or she turned into Allie from, like, the demon bunny into Allie, and then I don't remember if she disappeared Thanos style or whatever, but that's all I saw.
Okay.
And then I saw Kevin Sullivan.
So, again, I did have in my original notes, but there's been so much stuff going on, I kind of forgot to mention that sort of stuff was going on. And I forgot to mention in the show notes, if you watched the Last Week Tonight with John Oliver thing on the WWE.
Yeah, I watched that.
Okay. So, real briefly, can we talk about that?
Sure.
I am a fan of John Oliver. I think what he does on that show is very good. He does a very good service getting news out to people in a way that maybe they may not get.
Mm-hmm.
They need it wrapped up in some sort of comedy bubble. I like wrestling, specifically with wrestling entertainment. Watching the segment, it certainly comes across to me that John Oliver also likes professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand that this may have been the first time a lot of people were seeing that WWE looks at their people as independent contractors. And that's obviously a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means a lot of guys don't get paid, and the way that their injuries are handled and stuff like that. So, while I thought the heart of the piece was in the right place, I don't think that it was presented in the best way. Now, obviously, WWE has stated that they were aware of the piece beforehand. They offered the people who make the show the ability to refute some of those points, and they chose not to. And then afterwards, of course, WWE invited John Oliver to show up at WrestleMania this upcoming weekend. So, again, I wish that the wrestlers in WWE weren't independent contractors so that they had a more steady source of income. I've talked before, both privately and publicly, how WWE could benefit from, like, an off-season. They have so many people now. You know, they could cycle people on that they get, like, 3 months off or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that gets the conversation started, it's a good thing. But him asking the fans going to WrestleMania to bring signs that say, you know, give these people contracts and healthcare and so forth and so on. And I'm not taking claim for this. He probably did more of a thing to remind people, oh yeah, we're supposed to chant CM Punk at wrestling shows.
Yeah.
Which I'm completely against.
Yeah, I'm against that as well. I think, like, he made it a point to say, like, oh, that the fans have the most control out of anybody, like, in the business, you know, and he made it a point to point out how Roman Reigns as a babyface was getting booed out of the building, last year or the year after his Undertaker match at Mania. And they're like, oh, the fans are the ones responsible for telling Vince what they want. Well, what the fuck, like, the fans booing Roman Reigns didn't make them stop pushing him as a babyface, you know, so that was, like, a terrible example because the fans, despite being super vocal about something, they didn't stop the Roman Reigns push, you know, so it kind of didn't make any sense.
Well, plus about, they didn't stop it, but there was at least two separate instances where Roman Reigns was supposed to win the title at WrestleMania and did not because of Vince knee-jerk reactions because of those crowd reactions. And it's been a lot of start and stop stuff, sadly, with Roman, and I think they're on a right course, you know, with the terrible circumstances with Roman having to take time off with the leukemia stuff. But it certainly seems as though they have Roman in the position that he should be to be and start to build him back up to the point where they want him as they go through stuff with Seth and whomever it is on the Raw side of things. But the Becky stuff is because of the fans, 100%. The Daniel Bryan stuff, you know, that happened initially to get him at the championship at WrestleMania was the fan stuff. So there is fan stuff when they want there to be fan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't fan stuff when they don't want there to be fan stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, if there is a scathing sign about, like, making them unionize or giving them healthcare, I mean, they could just confiscate the sign and be done with it.
Right.
So it'll never make the real show. But another takeaway from the John Oliver thing is obviously in addition to the independent contractor angle, they talked a lot about, especially early on, like the wrestlers dying at a young age, which is something that a lot of news shows have covered over the years. But I never had it presented in context, like that clip of Roddy Piper talking about like, oh, I'm not going to live to see 65. And then they cut away to like, oh, he died at like 62 or something like that. And I was like, oh, man, that fucking hit me hard. You know, because I love Piper.
Right. And that's the thing. And this came up actually in The Observer. Far be it from me to praise Dave Meltzer. But one of the things that they could have used and didn't was sensational Sherry Martel, who did retire due to injuries, who did go through the WWE rehab program. But they let her go, and Vince himself, even as, I don't know if they had mentioned it on the John Oliver thing, essentially, Vince said, the only reason we put past people in rehab is because it's good PR. Like, essentially saying, we don't really care if they live or die. But where Sherry Martel came in, she was definitely in an altered state when she accepted her Hall of Fame thing, and she died of an overdose of pain pills, because of how messed up she was from years and years of wrestling. And, of course, the Roddy Piper stuff. And in the last 10 to 15 years, well, let's say 10 years, WWE has taken great strides in preventing that from happening and actually instilling a legitimate wellness policy to legitimately help people with legitimate problems. But there was a period of time there for like 30 years where, you know, obviously it was WWE, but it wasn't just WWE, it just happens that WWE is the last one standing. You know, when Roddy Piper was wrestling in Puerto Rico and he and Ric Flair got paid in a spittoon of cocaine, that wasn't Vince McMahon's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the way wrestling was. And sometimes you stick around too long because you weren't good with your money. And there were people that were good with their money, and there were a lot of people that weren't good with their money. I'm not defending WWE in any way, shape, or form, but to say that somebody who lived a hard life for 10 to 15 years before they even set foot in WWF, and then to blame WWF for the problems, I'm sure they didn't help the problems, but they weren't the cause of the problems that were probably already there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't know. Like, if this somehow like gets more eyes on the problem, you know, then it's a good thing. But
right.
If it, you know, goes away in a week or two after Mania, then, you know, what good was it? It's just the news cycle refreshes so quickly.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It happened on Sunday in the hopes that it would come through for WrestleMania, but so much shit is going to happen between us recording this show and WrestleMania actually happening. Like, what we say on here isn't going to be remembered, you know?
I won't remember it after we're done recording it.
Exactly. So let's get into Raw from the past week. Sadly, SmackDown was kind of uneventful. You know, we had the Kofi contract signing. We had the 18-person intergender tag team match that denigrated down into a battle royal where sometimes you could throw people over the top rope, sometimes through the middle ropes. So I don't think there was really much of note on SmackDown other than Alexa Bliss making an appearance and officially announcing a match, but we'll talk about the actual matches for WrestleMania a little bit later on.
And one other quick thing from SmackDown we can throw out there. Somebody else lost the name. Mustafa Ali is now just Ali.
Oh, that happened like a week or two ago on Twitter, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been on TV since it happened, I don't think. So
that's true.
So if it doesn't happen on TV, it's not canon for me.
And we'll get into this a little bit later when we're talking about the matches for WrestleMania. I'm eager for the day for Zack Ryder's name on screen to be changed from Zack Ryder to just Broski. We're not too far away, I'm just saying.
All right. But back to Raw.
But the big thing on Raw, of course, was the six-woman tag match where it was the Riot Squad. So Riot Squad versus our main event for WrestleMania this year, which is Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, with the caveat that if they attacked each other during the course of the match or didn't get along, they'd be out of the main event. Fine. I do want to mention, which I forgot, Stephanie McMahon's promo at the beginning of Raw. How could you not love Stephanie when she comes out and she cuts that promo to open up Raw with a big announcement about the main event that they were teasing all day on social media? And Stephanie comes out and she says, "I'm adding myself to the match and make it a four-way." And everyone starts booing. And she goes, oh, I'm just fucking with you. It's April Fool's, everybody.
See, you do know what April Fool's is. You just have, it has to come from a McMahon, I guess.
That's right. Listen, all right. You're not Stephanie McMahon.
I am not.
And her joke was funny. But they made the match at WrestleMania with Becky, Ronda, and Charlotte. To paraphrase Vince from the WrestleMania 6 build. Title versus title. Champion versus champion. Winner takes all. And then would later explain to people, no, only the heavyweight title's on the line. Why would Hulk want the Intercontinental title? That belt sucks. But no, it's winner takes all. Whoever wins is going to get both the Raw and SmackDown women's titles. Great. So you get your heated tags, smacking each other back and forth, whatever. As soon as the match is over, Ronda, Charlotte, Becky start fighting. Cops come up, start separating. Ronda gets attacked. She gets cuffed first. Becky attacks her. Becky gets cuffed. They're taking the two of them out. Charlotte attacks them. She gets cuffed. They put them in the back of cars. They put Becky and Ronda in the same car. They start kicking each other and kicking windows out of the cars. Then they pull Becky out of the car, and Charlotte, Becky, it's so confusing. Ronda jumps in the front of the car, she crashes into another car, and she's sticking her head out the window, and Charlotte comes over and drills her with a knee right in the face. It was so wild and chaotic. I loved it. I'm past the fact, and I've come to the realization that as long as Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn are still taking breaths, that you are going to have any segment on a World Wrestling Entertainment show have those hundreds and thousands of needless camera cuts and the shaky camera stuff. I've dealt with it. I'm getting numb to it. What was presented to us was wild and chaotic and one of the most entertaining sports entertainment segments I've seen on WWE TV in a long time.
You have your finger on the pulse of like what people are saying on Twitter more so than I do.
I do.
Was it that ending shit on for the most part, or did most people like it? Because I enjoyed the segment. I wish Rousey had slightly sold the devastating knee she took to the head. But what was the general reaction? Did most people not like it?
It was split weirdly.
Okay.
It was kind of almost like 50% right down the middle. There were people who loved it. And there were people that hated it. Like, people that were cutting it with music from, like, Benny Hill and speeding it up, saying that it was, like, too chaotic and you couldn't take it seriously and follow what was going on. And then people poking holes in it, saying that how could that many cops show up and there only be two cop cars to bring them to the building? And if Becky and Ronda and Charlotte really were quote-unquote charged with all the things they allegedly did as part of the non-sports entertainment part of the program, wouldn't they be in jail forever and all this other stuff? And I'm like, guys, come on.
Are these people new to wrestling? Is this like the first Raw they've ever seen? It seems like it, you know, to have not be able to suspend that kind of disbelief. They've never seen an Austin segment on Raw.
Right. You know? And what I felt there was as close to a quote-unquote Austin segment as we're going to get on Monday Night Raw in any time, you know, in any sort of time.
That's probably the first, like, a wrestler gets arrested, quote-unquote, segment I've seen in a long time that I actually enjoyed. You know, like, usually they're just very much like like even Charlotte getting her, or not Charlotte, Becky getting arrested like a month ago. You know, that was lame because it was just like the ones that the last dozen or so times they tried this gimmick. But this one was unique because everybody not only got arrested, but then they kept on fighting. And as far as sports entertainment, I enjoyed it, you know?
Right. I thought it was really good. It was a really fun build toward the match to add some craziness to it.
And then they all did their part on SmackDown and just sold it the traditional way by cutting some promos. And Becky's promo, where she came out and stood on the announcer's table, I think that was awesome as well. So they gave you a little bit of each. They gave you the sports entertainment on Raw, and they gave you a little bit more of a wrestling promoting on SmackDown.
And that's typically where you would see the more presentation like that on Raw, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to apologize. Just two things are going on. I'm getting direct messages from celebrities.
Oh, really?
And yes. And oh, the match on the Beyond event, Jordan Grace picked as her partner Matt Cage. Okay. And Orange Cassidy picked as his partner Martina, the Session Moth.
All right.
That's all.
Okay. I have to watch. Is that like something that I can, I don't have to be watching that live, right? I can go and maybe later watch that on independent TV?
Yes.
Awesome. Because I'm stuck doing this podcast. I can't watch it. We're going to have to reschedule the podcast if the show takes off because I want to watch it live.
Oh, boy. And it's going to be tough because they're going to be every Wednesday as we're recording, you know, for the next, like, 12 weeks.
Yeah. We're going to have to bump up this podcast to Tuesdays. You're free on Tuesdays.
No!
What can you possibly be doing on a Tuesday night?
The other podcast.
That's old news. We're the future, Charles, not them.
But I and again, and then I saw, oh, so the other stuff that happened on Raw was, it was initially supposed to be Rey Mysterio versus Kurt Angle.
Mm.
And then the decision was made, I forget what the kayfabe on TV reason was, and it's not because last week's Kurt matches on TV were super scary and frightening for Kurt's well-being, that they decided to forego that match and have Rey Mysterio defend the honor of Kurt Angle against Baron Corbin in the main event of Monday Night Raw. And wouldn't you know who won the pony there, Rey Mysterio may have been legitimately hurt in that match.
Yeah, and it's only a couple days before Mania, and he's a young man, he can shake it off. I think it was only like a leg injury, right? He doesn't need those to wrestle.
And the other thing is, this just delays us seeing Samoa Joe choke out Dominic.
The match at Mania should be Samoa Joe against Dominic. He's training to be a wrestler, they say. He's like Prince Mysterio or something, Principe, or however you say that, I apologize. But yeah, let's just have him against Joe.
They could do a backstage segment even where, you know, Ray's with the trainers and Dominic's there, and Joe attacks them backstage and then beats Dominic up there, and that's how maybe like the match gets thrown out or something. There's still an there's still a chance, but the longer you delay it, I don't know if that's going to be the more I'm not going to want to see it or the sweeter it's going to be when it happens.
This is going to throw our At Odds Mania prop bets into just chaos, but right. We'll talk about that later.
Well, let's talk about you know, the other thing that we do on the show, a tradition, if you will, is to see if I know the card for the upcoming pay-per-view.
Hold on, let me play the bumper here. Does Joe know the card? Yay. All right, anyways, go ahead.
Okay, well, this is on you. You have to tell me how many matches there are.
All right, so according to Wikipedia, which as we know is just infallible with its accuracy, all right, there are currently a total of 15 matches listed, three of which are currently designated as being on the pre-show.
So, officially pre-show matches now.
Yes, again, according to Wikipedia, which is never wrong, mm-hmm. Three of them do have a little P next to them, and that's... that's not a Trump thing, but go ahead.
I was going to say it's not for the piss break matches.
No, because actually one of them is really good. There's your spoiler. But what are the three pre-show matches?
Oh, my God. Let's guess. Buddy Murphy versus Tony Nese.
Correct. And what is – give me the stipulation for everything.
That is for the Juicerweight title.
Correct.
The little purple ropes belt. let me guess and say the women's battle royal is on the pre-show?
Correct.
Okay. And shot in the dark, just because it was announced recently, was the four corner for the SmackDown tag.
It is not. Let's talk about gender equality, Joe. You said the women's Royal Rumble was on the pre-show. So what else?
Both battle royals are on the pre-show.
Yes, and I think that it was the last couple years.
Interesting.
Because I remember when Matt Hardy won last year, it was like the last thing before the show started.
Right. Okay.
All right. And so you took care of the three pre-show matches, and then you just touched on
another match as well.
All right, so what was good? Expound upon that one.
Okay, so it's the Usos, who just recently re-signed their contracts. So that's one less ivory back scratcher for Jim, or one more ivory back scratcher for Jim Ross. Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
The Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth team in that match is Ricochet and Aleister Black.
Correct.
Okay. So, that's hatches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the easy ones out of the way. Kofi and Bryan.
Yep.
Ronda, Charlotte, Becky.
Yep.
Brock and Seth.
Yep.
The Demon, Finn Balor. against Lashley for the Intercontinental Strapola.
All right.
Samoan Joe versus Rey Mysterio, question mark.
Okay, against Dominic.
Right, a slash Dominic slash whomever. Then we have Batista versus Triple H.
Yep.
That's 10, so there's 5 more. We've got the women's tag team title match, which is Boston Hug Connection, Iconics, Natty and Beth, Nia Jax and Tamina.
Okay.
We have the Viper, Randy Orton, future NXT World Champion.
Fuck Randy Orton, go ahead.
Against AJ Styles.
Yep.
I might be... Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin.
Okay.
I got 3 more, huh?
No, 2 more.
2 more, okay. Is Revival versus Curt Hawkins and Broski official?
As of right now, there is no Raw tag team title match listed.
Okay.
Again, according to Wikipedia.
Because the YouTube build for that one again.
Okay.
Where they filmed the promo backstage on for YouTubes. I can't think of what the last two are.
Do you want some hints?
No, just tell what they are. Let's not any longer.
All right, Roman Reigns against Drew McIntyre.
Son of a bitch. Okay.
And then the clearly the main event of the show, The Miz versus Shane McMahon. The best in the world against Miz.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So that's 15 official matches.
Yep.
There's, you know, obviously as I mentioned, there's the YouTube build for Revival versus Broski and Curt Hawkins. I could see that one dripping over onto the pre-show.
You think?
There's
no
the
offense.
I was gonna say there's the Elias thing, which there's a lot of speculation that we're gonna see either anyone from Lars Sullivan to John Cena being the one to interrupt that. And then we have whatever they could tack onto the Kurt Angle Baron Corbin thing. And I don't count the Elias thing as a match. I would assume that the Kurt Angle thing, if they do add a second match on there, that could be technically another match. So, I don't know, 16 matches seems like a nice, robust card.
Just, you know, it's a nice, brisk card. It'll just fly by, you know. You'll just be like, wow, that went by quickly. That was an enjoyable, not at all long and lumbering show.
Right.
Exactly.
So now that we have the card in front of us, let's get into our prop bets, which I want to thank Adam for putting together a nice little infographic that we could tweet out and share with the folks, the listeners here. So as it is on the graphic, we have what match is going to open the main show, what match is going to precede the women's title main event. I like the way that you worded that.
Yeah, because everybody, like we had it previously, that like what match is going to end the show. And I think they put to bed that barring some kind of catastrophic injury or, you know, The Rock deciding he's going to show up and want to wrestle, that we're going to have the, you know, the women's title match be the last match. So I think that the interesting question is, like, who is going to be the co-main event?
Right. Winner of the men's battle royal, winner of the women's battle royal, number of title changes. What time will the show end? With the caveat in like a 10-minute window. You can't choose 12:07. You gotta choose like, well, you set a 10-minute window and then you have increments of 5. So,
I don't know what you're doing. I have 9:15 to 9:25. That's a 10-minute window, Joe.
Anyway. Oh, so you're saying you have to... Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so like, if you were to say...
Oh, so I could say 1207 to 1227, or like 1217.
Correct. Math is hard. But yes, gotcha. That way, I mean, it's really hard to say, okay, the show's going to end at 1207, and then if it ends at 1208, then you get it wrong. You know, so I want to kind of make it a little easier. I'm grading on the curve.
Gotcha.
Or more specifically, you're grading on the curve because you're handling all this.
Right. I dropped a pen, so I apologize. What match will the commentary table first be broken with the added bonus point of will the table no-sell the break attempt? What will the longest match be? What will the shortest match be? And the number of Hall of Famers that will wrestle on the show. Now, didn't we discuss this, that we're currently at what? What was the over-under on that? Because Triple H counts, Beth Phoenix counts, Kurt Angle counts.
I think we said that it would be like 4.5 is the over-under.
Okay, 4.5.
But luckily you don't have to deal with an over-under. If you just want to say 3, that there's nobody, not going to be anybody extra. If you want to say 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever. Maybe they throw out some kind of match number 16 as DX against the Revival and the toy podcast guys.
How dare you? It's Kurt Hawkins and Broski.
Sure.
And we already actually, and if you see on the infographic, you could tweet at us with the hashtag @OddsMania, or you could email us at the Long Box Heroes email, because, you know, this show is like part of the Long Box Hero arm of the soon-to-be-named network. Mm-hmm. And my good friend Tom, Tom Green on Twitter, did already send his picks in. I'm not going to give away his picks here on the air. Let me look at his email. Did he say anything funny on here? Okay. No, he's just saying for number 9, which is the shortest match, he's currently stating that it's going to be Lashley and Finn Balor. Unless Revival versus Hawks and Broski gets added, then that will be the one. So there's that. But he did tweet out with his entry saying, just sent my @OddsMania picks because I'm a gross scumbag who needs the thrill of gamesmanship to be happy. And I want to take my hat off to Tom because he gets not only what the show is all about, but also what the true reason for the WrestleMania season is all about as well.
Yeah, kudos to him.
So, you know what? Let's kind of talk this between the two of us.
Okay.
With our decisions here. Hang on.
What? We're going to have an official show ballot on this? Or no. Actually, I think you know what would be fun, though, Joe? I think you and I should submit, like, our own entries to this, and then we can see who does better.
Well,
rather than kind of make our predictions on this. Like, we can predict the card, you know, if you want to talk about that, but not for the prop bets.
Oh, not I'm share our?
I'd like to see who does better.
Well, it's not like I think we're in the same mindset on a lot of the stuff, right?
All right, fair enough. I just like competing. I want to be better than you at something.
We can compete because you'll know what. Like, it's not like I'm going to sway you or you're going to sway me.
I don't know. I'm very susceptible to swaying.
Well, I'm just going to go through this, right? Okay.
Okay.
What match is going to open the main show? My opinion, it's going to be Miz and Shane McMahon.
I'm going to go something a little bit more high-paced, like a Reigns-McIntyre.
Okay.
Because I don't think Shane McMahon is a great pace setter for the show.
He's opened the show before. Didn't him and AJ open the show once before?
I don't remember. I didn't pay much attention to that match. I'm not the biggest Shane McMahon fan. I don't know if you recognize this.
What will the second to last match be?
This is a tough one. I've down to 2, but go ahead.
Okay, I think it's going to be the women's tag title match.
Okay. I am, like, I cannot decide between Lesnar Rollins or, never mind. It's clear. It's, in my opinion, it's Daniel Bryan versus Kofi.
I personally think that one's going to be almost like the midpoint main event of the show.
I think Kofi, like, leaving with the belt held high You know, let's throw some sparklers and streamers down and then quickly sweep it up for the women's main event. I think that's your one of your two feel-good things. I think it's ending the show or set coming close, but that's just me.
Right, and so for like I'll even go this far and say the placement of Daniel Bryan Kofi is going to be right before when they bring out all the Hall of Famers. Because you're going to have that big celebration when Kofi wins. He's going to get his pyro, his celebration, whatever else it is. Now we get our little bit of a cool down. We show those highlight videos from Access Weekend, from the Hall of Fame the night before. We trot out all the Hall of Famers, and that gives them the time to clean up the ring.
Okay.
That's just my opinion of where that match will be. And again, that's not part of the bet, but I'm just saying.
Sure.
Men's Battle Royal winner is going to be those two schmucks from Saturday Night Live.
I think it's Braun Strowman, but go ahead.
You think it's going to be Brawny Strowman?
Yep.
Brawny. I'm taking note of yours as well here.
Okay.
Women's Battle Royal is tough. I would have said that it was Asuka before she won the deal on SmackDown this week. And I don't think they've officially announced that Lacey Evans is in there. So I'm going to go with a sentimental pick for me and say, caveat only being, you know what? Whether she's announced or not, Alexa Bliss is winning it.
Ooh. Oh, see, that's where my heart is, but that's not where my brain is on this. I'm thinking, I'm going to go Ruby Riott. Put me down. I think she's due. She needs to get some kind of some rub from all these jobs to the women in the main event. I think it's her time.
Ruby Riott was my original pick as well, and things until things kind of got a little caca cuckoo with like the women's stuff lately.
Mm-hmm. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Alexa Bliss wins that and the men's. You know, like I don't care how it happens, but I don't even think Alexa Bliss is going to be in the Battle Royal. I think she's just doing the hosting.
I think she's been playing fast and loose with the rules of stuff. Mm. And I could certainly see her doing some sort of scam where there's like the last two people in and then all of a sudden she enters herself into the battle royal to win.
Alright. I like it. I just don't think it's gonna happen.
Okay. Number of title changes.
Ugh.
So let's run this through again, okay?
That's gonna take math. Go ahead.
Okay, so we've got Men's Raw, Men's SmackDown.
We got the women's
title, winner take all. We got the Intercontinental title. We got the U.S. title. We got the Juicerweight title, and we got the women's tag title. Is that everything?
But like again, the Men's Raw tag team title has not been announced.
Okay, so Men's Raw tag titles and SmackDown tag titles. So that's 9 title matches.
Wait, what?
Okay.
I'm confused.
We got the men's singles title on Raw.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about... My bad. Go ahead.
Okay. Men's single on Raw, men's single on SmackDown.
All right.
Women's winner take all.
Yep.
U.S. title, Intercontinental title, women's tag, Juicerweight title, Raw tag, SmackDown tag.
We do not have a Raw tag, though.
I'm including it.
All right. Fair enough. All right. So 8/9 title matches.
Okay. So, we're going to go through the whole thing. I think Seth is winning. Kofi's 100% winning. Becky's 100% winning. Samoa Joe, I can go either way, but let's say he retains. The Demon's going to win the Intercontinental. Buddy Murphy's keeping the Juicerweight title. Boston Hugger keeping the tag titles there. And then let's say both sets of tag titles change hands there. So I'm saying 6 title changes.
Okay. I'm with you on most of it. I'm saying Seth is winning. Becky Lynch is winning. Samoa Joe is definitely winning because of Rey Mysterio being hurt, and Dominic's not going to beat Joe. The Demon, as we mentioned before, he is undefeated, so he's absolutely beating Lashley. So let's see, that title change wise, I've said there's been no changes so far. I can see Tony Nese beating Buddy Murphy only because Buddy Murphy's been the champ for a while. So they tend to throw around title changes during the pre-show of Mania. I think Ricochet and Aleister Black win the SmackDown tag titles.
just because why not? And I'm going to go with a dark horse pick, like a picking from my heart. And I'm going to say the Iconics beat the Boston Hug Connection.
Oh, no way.
Yep. So because WrestleMania is iconic.
So how many is that?
Three. That would be the Cruiserweight and the two tag titles. Seth Rollins.
Saying that four titles changing hands?
No. Okay, again, math is hard. I'm saying Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, Cruiserweight, the two tag titles. So that's five. And it's Finn Balor's not the champ. Okay, six. He's going to win. And Samoa Joe is the champion. Yeah, I'm going to go with six.
So that one's a wash for us.
Yeah, but we just have different matches picked. That's all.
Right, but that's not what the question is. So
yes.
Okay, what time will the show end? My window that I'm going with is the 12:07 to 12:17 window.
I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm going to go with 11:50 to midnight.
Wow, look at you.
I'm going to say that, maybe we don't have an Undertaker appearance this year as far as we know. So that right there, that's a half hour for the entrance cut out of there. I'm going to be optimistic and say we wrap this up by midnight.
So what match will the commentary be broken during? My money is on Batista Triple H, and it will be sold because everyone sells for Triple H.
I'm going Shane McMahon Miz. I think that's the chalk pick right there. And because of the fact that it'll probably be a gimmick table with like a crash pad underneath, I think the table will collapse if you throw an ink pen at it. So it's going to sell it.
I say the only reason I didn't pick Shane and Miz, I think because the Falls Count Anywhere stipulation is going to allow them to go other places and go through other shit than tables.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Okay. Longest match. I think it's going to be Brian and Kofi. Bell to bell. I'm not talking like entrances, post-match celebrations, any of that shit.
Okay. Oh, man, I would so to women's main event if Ronda Rousey wasn't in it. You know, like if it was Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and like somebody that can like work a very long technical match, I would take that. But I guess I'm going to agree with you, Daniel Bryan Kofi.
Oh, man, look at that. Two pushes.
Yeah.
Shortest match.
Joe must.
1,000% it's Kurt and Baron Corbin.
Definitely Kurt and Baron Corbin. What's close second being Joe versus Mysterio, especially if Mysterio's hurt. But again, another push, buddy. And again, that's because I am very susceptible to your influence. I would have never said that if you didn't shit on Kurt Angle the last couple weeks.
Well, again, even if he wasn't in the condition he was in on Raw and SmackDown this past week, I still felt as though it was going to be a super quick win over Corbin, because in WWE and Vince's mind, a way to get heat on a heel is to have people make fun of them for losing a match in short time.
Yeah.
So then we have, last but not least, number of Hall of Famers that will wrestle on the show. As mentioned, we know for sure it's going to be Kurt is wrestling, Beth Phoenix is wrestling, and Triple H is wrestling. I could see them throwing maybe one more in one of the two battle royals. So my money's I'm going to say four.
I didn't think of the battle royals.
Just because they announced the list of competitors that are going to be in the battle royals doesn't mean that those are actually going to be the competitors in the battle royal.
Yeah, I mean, they can throw anybody in there. You can see, like, Lita or Trish. I mean, I doubt you're going to see Trish Stratus in a pre-show match, but
you never know.
There's a lot of wiggle room there, because if you were talking about the main show, I was going to go firm with just the three that's announced. But you throw the freaking Rumbles in there. You know what? I'm going to go – what did you pick? Four?
Yes.
So my choices then is either three or five, because I'm not going to push with you on this. I'm going to go ballsy. I'm going five.
Wow. Because
of the Rumbles. This is the Battle Royals. Go big or go home.
So you're going to go five. You're going to go big.
Yeah, I'm going big.
Because again, I could see five. I could see both Trish and Lita getting added into the women's battle royal,
or added to the tag team title match.
You never know. I think your biggest variables are those battle royals.
Or maybe they give you Alexa Bliss versus Trish Stratus finally.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm still sticking with... You got five, I got four.
Alright.
And we have more and more people sending in their emails as we record this here as well.
Awesome. And if you're participating, how about like retweeting that out? Maybe somebody who isn't like familiar with the show wants to play along, you know?
Right. I'll retweet. Listen, I'm dealing with some other things going on right now. I'll tell you about off air.
All right.
Like last week when you tweeted out the gif of John Travolta, when I tell you somebody's real name.
Uh-huh.
This is something akin to that.
All right, fair enough. Those of you that aren't constantly getting your phone blown up with their information, tweet this out so other people can participate.
I can almost guarantee that this person doesn't listen to the show, so he'll never know that I'm talking about him. Even though I'm talking about him as I'm talking about him on the show. Anyway.
All right. Well, why doesn't he listen? What the fuck's his problem? Son of a bitch. What, does he think he's too good for this podcast? Listen to the show.
When I tell you who it is, you'll know that he is.
All right. I mean, most people are too good for this podcast, Joe. I'm just I'm glad-handing a little bit here. But all right, fair enough. Fair enough. But yes, tweet this shit out, people. What's better than beating like a couple dozen people, beating hundreds of people? Or dozens, I don't know. Anyway,
so the last bit of business, of course, before we get into the plugs, is there have been two more matches announced for the only WrestleMania weekend event other than the Alexa Bliss signing at the bookstore and the inside of jail cell that Adam is going to be attending.
We're gonna find out real quick that like when you get taken away in handcuffs, you're not on TV the next day.
we're gonna see an empty seat at the whatchamacallit, the Orange Cassidy is doing something whatever show. You'll know that Adam has not made bail.
Yeah.
So the two matches that were announced. One is the third annual JanSport Invitational Scramble, not sponsored by JanSport in any way, where the winner gets a Friendly's gift card for an undetermined amount of money, where we are seeing Sonny DeFarge, one half of the Distinguished Gentleman Tag Team from Chikara, Sonny DeFarge and, what the hell is Crummles' first name? I forget, god damn it. I hope he doesn't listen. Tony Deppen, Jake Atlas, Airwolf, Jigsaw, who's making a burn to shows this weekend, Lucky 13, and Dan Champion. Now, I'm going to throw this out there. I don't want to say the fix is in when it comes to these sort of things, but mm-hmm. with Lucky and Dan Champion being in that match, the fix might be in a little bit. Those are OC's buddies from the old school who are so cool, and they're two really good guys, too, so I'm happy to see them getting on the show here. Lucky is a madman. Lucky can and does everything from high flying, mat wrestling, death match, like the gory, horriblest death match stuff you'll ever see in your entire life, to actually competing in legitimate MMA.
Wow.
And, Dan Champion, don't let his online persona fool you. It may be brutal at times, but Dan Champion is maybe one of the strongest guys you'll ever meet in all of professional wrestling. Deceptively strong. He's huge as well for an indie guy. And if this is the weekend that he gets an opportunity to break out, I'm all for it. Because secretly, I'm really good friends with those two guys as well. Not to say that I'm not really good friends with like Tony Deppen and Jigsaw and DeFarge and so forth. But anyway.
We get it, Joe. Everybody loves you.
No, nobody. I love them. It's. I don't know if it's reciprocated.
Are they aware that you're claiming to be friends with them, or is this like a friends from afar? I'm friends with Alexa Bliss in my mind.
I would say half of the people that I mentioned.
All right. Fair enough.
I have another. I'll tell you. I got a lot of shit off air. God damn it. Another match that was announced was a 10-person dodgeball tag team match where team captains Veda Scott and Faye Jackson will pick ball teams from this grouping of folks. Red Eagle, Jeff Cannonball, Tara Calloway, Eric Royal, Daniel Maccabe, Shaza McKenzie, Sage Phillips, Utah, not the state, but it's Y-U-T-A, and that's the way I pronounce it. Like Logan Easton LaRoe. Some people say LaRoe, other people say LaRue. It's Utah. And MJF. And I'm glad to see that it has already begun, that people, starting at the Beyond event that happened Wednesday, are singing You Are My Sunshine at MJF when he wrestles. I don't know if you saw that video.
I did not.
Of a 5-year-old MJF appearing on the Rosie O'Donnell show to talk about when he grows up he wants to be an opera singer or a wrestler. And then she has him sing his song, which is him as a little 5-year-old kid singing You Are My Sunshine with a fake, like, operatic bravado with it. That video got released over the weekend, and I was going to tweet out, goddamn, every show this weekend that MJF is on, if people are not singing You Are My Sunshine at him, then somebody's going to die. I'm glad it's already started. Now, I don't know how that match is going to be. Is it going to be an actual tag team match? Is it going to be wrestling combined with dodgeball? When it comes to Orange Cassidy, the only thing for sure is nothing's for sure.
Yeah, who...
In that way, Orange Cassidy is like Sting.
The wrestler, not the singer.
Yes!
All right. Fair enough. I'm looking forward to the show. I really am. I'm glad I got my tickets before they sold out. I've had some of our friends and listeners reach out to me through direct messages asking if I bought extras because it's now sold out.
Yep.
I unfortunately did not, but I am looking forward to going. Very much so.
Less so
the show the next day, but,
it's going to be a very busy day, and, I'm hoping that that event gets put up on sadly, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch that one live, because I will be up the night, because that's Saturday morning, right?
Saturday at noon.
I know the one that I will certainly be watching live as it happens is going to be the AIW Slumber Party Massacre show, which is Thursday night, midnight, as you're listening to this, midnight, 11, my apologies. Mm-hmm. They moved the... time up for the building constraints and so forth, and AIW owner John Thorne, good friend of mine, legit, he will admit he's my friend, has really been hitting the press junket out there, really beating feet, working hard, and I love it every day when he sends out how many tickets are still left to be sold. Like, he wants that show sold out before it starts, you know, tonight. And I keep telling him, man, he's got the buzz, he's got the word, he's busting his ass. And when I see the listings that come out of all the other shows from the big boys that still have hundreds of tickets left to sell, it makes me feel good when I see my friends who are truly independent, like AIW, like GCW, like Chikara, like Black Label Pro, like whatever the hell Orange Cassidy is doing. It's under the GCW banner, but you get me. When I see those guys out there busting their asses, doing different stuff, doing innovative stuff, not having feeder systems from the WWE, sending them guys that are under contract, sizing whatever it is that they pay so they're not losing their asses on these shows that they have 300-plus unsold tickets for their events. It makes me feel good. Good to see the truly independent people out there getting shit done. And if you can't be there live like I can't be, or you could only be there live for the Orange Cassidy show, whether it be on independentwrestling.tv where you can get that 20-day free trial with our code at odds, or the events that are on fight.tv, you do them both, you get 11 shows for like $100. That's less than $10 a show if you get the free independentwrestling.tv subscription for the 20 days. If you're already an independent wrestling subscriber, you get the Black Label Pro Show. You get the Chikara Show. You get the Orange Cassidy Show. You get the Family Reunion Show that's happening at noon today as you're listening to this. Support independent wrestling. We all know you're going to watch NXT. We all know you're going to watch WrestleMania. Give the little guys a chance.
Absolutely. And a couple quick things along those lines. Friend of the show, Pod Van Dam, tweeted out that he was upset that I wasn't going to the AIW show, which you said is what, Thursday? Thursday night at 11?
Thursday at 11, yes.
Yeah, so I had asked him at the time I wasn't aware of what time it was, and he had tweeted back at, 11, midnight, whatever. And obviously that's a tough sell for, driving from Scranton, Pennsylvania to New Jersey and then having work the next day. But then like a day or two passed, and I was like, see if there's any tickets available. And there were still a few tickets left. I was very close. I can't see it because we're on a podcast, but I'm doing the little tiny finger pinch thing. I was this close to making a purchase and going out to see it, but I'm 39. If I was 29, I'd make the trip out to Jersey and then come back to work the next morning. But I was close. I was close to making a surprise appearance. And also the card looked awesome, so I'm going to try to get to more independent shows, especially I'd like to see an AIW match or an AIW card, whatever.
I had people asking me to quiz you on some of the stuff that was being announced for that Chikara show that's happening in the Poconos in a couple weeks, but that's for another day.
All right. I've been staying on top of that card. I've seen some of the announcements. I saw that my boy Blink is going to be there. So, but yeah, we'll talk about that another day. Yeah. And just real quick, I teased on Twitter the other day that I got WrestleMania tickets.
Oh, you did?
I did. I officially got those handed to me today. They are, number one, they're free. So thank you very much to the gentleman who gave me the tickets. I know I was referring to them as comps just to sound pompous and arrogant. And Todd called me out on that. He's like, who's going to comp you something? I was like, fuck you, dude. They were free. So it's a comp. But I was comped two tickets. Let's just say they're up there. They're pretty high up. Like if you get to the upper deck and once you're up in the upper deck, turn around and look up and, it's up there further. So I'm probably not going to go just because I'm an old man and I don't want to squint to see the wrestling ring. But I think I'm going to bring them with me to the Orange Cassidy show. So if anybody wants some WrestleMania tickets, not for free, because I got to turn a buck, pay for this microphone I'm talking on, but, message me. Maybe I'll hook you up with a very fair price.
That is a side deal with Adam and not endorsed by me.
Yes, that is not owned by the show, but I got to get mine. This is the WrestleMania tickets opportunity.
There you go. Oh boy. Somebody was trying to do a Joey Janela spring break ticket opportunity and trying to sell tickets that sold at face value of $190 for $500 each. Uh-huh. So Janela just said, yeah, you're not doing that. Refunded the guy his money and said, hey, there's two tickets available. Somebody else buy them at face value.
Nice. Well, luckily Vince doesn't have that kind of morals.
Right. Oh, well, that alone. Someone's going to tell Vince what morals are one day and he's going to be very shocked.
Yeah.
So the last thing, of course, with everything else that we're plugging, we now have shirts on TeePublic, a place that I am proud for now until they screw up somebody's orders and some substandard items. But TeePublic, we have shirts up there for all of your favorite iterations of the At Odds with Wrestling logo. Whether you like the one for the Bullet Boys, whether you like the one where you're all in, or you like the one when you're extreme, and maybe some other things that were inspired by the show about me being a nice guy, about that guy in Chicago who's always happy, and those two super kicking guys, the one who's a dirtbag who blocks everyone on Twitter, and the other one who's a dirtbag who blocks everyone on Twitter, but he looks like the lead singer of Queensryche now.
Did you say blocks people on Tinder? How are you following Tinder. Him?
On Tinder, yes. I was on a roll there, and my words got ahead of me. But yes, tpublic.com, keep an eye out. They do sales all the time. The standard going price for their shirts are $20, but they typically do sales at $14. As I joked on the Longbox Hero Show this week, they do sales as often as DC Dark Knight Returns and Batman Year One on sale digitally. So if they're not on sale this weekend, I'm sure they'll be on sale the following weekend. And now that we have a more dedicated, hopefully more honest and reputable site to be dealing with, we may see more and more designs going up on the site in the near future.
Yeah, I know there's some shirts that Todd had talked about, like such greats as Fish Math. Edit that out. Anyways, going back, but I know there are some shirt designs that have been bandied about behind the scenes amongst us. But if you have any shirt requests, let us know.
Yeah, we'll work something out.
Yeah, edit that out, Joe.
No, I like me yelling into the microphone like a goddamn idiot. I like that more.
Fair enough.
All right. I think there's a lot of show here today.
Yeah,
a lot of cleaning up to do because I fucked some stuff up.
It happens. But again, just to remind everybody, send your At Odds Mania picks to longboxheroes@gmail.com. Talk to us in the comments at longboxheroes.com or Twitter at Odds Wrestling, at The Man Adam Van, or at Joe Sposta.
Right, and if you're not an email person for whatever reason, of course, you could put those on Twitter with the hashtag @OddsMania.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we already had a couple people put their full picks on there, and I do have screenshots of those. So over the next couple of days, I'll be compiling everything as we get to this Sunday, 5:30, when the granddaddy of them all, the spectacle upon spectacles, the greatest event in all of entertainment takes place, WrestleMania. So, for Adam, this is Joe, closing out episode 31 of At Odds with Wrestling. Thanks for listening, everybody, and enjoy.